Psalm 118, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Thou hast chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Sorry, the Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, in Psalm 118, as we think on it as coupled with Psalm 119, we have, I think, a fine or a fitting parallel with what goes on in Book 1 of the Psalter. Of course, this is Book 5 of the Psalter. And so we have it right somewhat in the middle, Psalms 118 and 119 coupled together, which we would be tempted to call a gospel psalm coupled with a Torah psalm. Okay? A covenant psalm coupled with a Torah psalm. But notice that in Book 1 of the Psalter, we have the same thing in Psalms 18 and 19. We have a gospel psalm coupled with a Torah psalm. Okay? So some writers have seen some symmetrical parallelism between Books 1 and Book 5 as it pertains to Psalms 18 and 19 as compared to 118 and 119. And I don't think that's an ill-wrought comparison. I think there's something to be said for that. And it speaks of, we believe, Ezra's planning and an inspired look at the Psalter as it was compiled in its final form after the exile. Okay, so that being said, notice that the psalm ends as it begins. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now, I hope you noticed, and this is another really interesting point when you read the Bible. When you read it, of course, we want to read with understanding. And part of reading with understanding is that we read large chunks of Scripture and not simply one or two verses at a time. Yes, we can read one or two verses at a time and drill down into those, and we can derive much comfort, much instruction, direction, and so on. That's good. But it's also good to read large blocks of Scripture, as this psalm teaches us. Because as we read Psalm 118, did you hear those three particular repetitions? And so those repetitions make for the sections of this psalm as it is written. Right? So we have, at first, we have Ki Olam Hasdo, the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Of course, it's Hasdo, his chesed, right? His covenant fidelity. And it endures unto the age, le'olam, unto eternity. His mercy endureth forever is how it's typically translated. Notice that phrase is repeated. Okay, then we have, what can man do to me, right? The Lord is on my side. What can, I will not fear. The Lord taketh part with them. Then we have these repetitions here. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then we have the next repetition. They compassed me about. Then we have the next repetition of verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted and does valiantly. And so all of these repetitions are what we have understood in the Bible to be textual markers of sections. Okay, and in the Hebrew, this becomes very clear. Sometimes those textual markers have a beginning and an end. You'll see within a psalm, you'll have a line, and then a couple of verses, maybe three or four, and then another line that is exactly the same. That's meant to frame that section. And this is what we learn when we become conversant more and more with the Scriptures. Okay, this section, we can consider this what we've called now a pericope, or a discourse. This has a particular section to it, and it's divided that way for our better understanding of it. Okay, so these repetitions here then set off the various sections of Psalm 118. All right, well, that is an overview of the text. Let's think now about the psalm itself. First of all, we have placed upon the people of God the duty of giving thanks to Him. It's a specific duty. Give thanks unto the Lord. This is an imperative in the original. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. So because of these things, we are enjoined. We are required. There's a prescription here to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's do that. Let's give thanks unto the Lord. Let's be a thankful people. Let's learn to recognize the blessings that He gives. Let's learn to thank the Lord also in the difficult times. No matter if we are riding on the high places of the earth, or if we are being dragged through the valleys, if you will. Let's make sure that we're giving thanks unto the Lord. Because in all of those circumstances, what? He is good. And His covenant fidelity, His covenant promises, they extend unto eternity. He doesn't go back on His promise. Okay? So that's the first section. Now, notice the universality of that. Let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron now say. Now, notice what we have here. Let Israel now say. Now, what is Israel? Well, it's a nation, but it's also in that day coextensive with the visible church. So let the entirety of the visible church give thanks unto the Lord. Let the house of Aaron now say. Now notice we have a specific group of people. Let the priests, the leaders of the church, let them also give thanks unto the Lord. No one's accepted, right? From the top to the bottom. But then look at the third appellation, the third name. And the third name is what? Let them that fear the Lord. Now, we have a division among faithful commentators as to what that means. Maybe it's outside of Israel. Maybe it's those that fear the Lord outside of Israel, let them also give thanks to the Lord. But in that day, those that were outside Israel, when they exercised faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what did they do? They were circumcised and came into Israel. So no, I think what the psalmist is doing here is the psalmist is letting us know that even within the nation of Israel, that not all of Israel is Israel. Let them that fear the Lord, especially, as we drill down and down and down, right? Here's the first group. all Israel. Here's the second group, the Levites. Here's the third group, let them that fear the Lord. So we are honing down to that remnant within the nation. Let them also, let them take the lead in giving thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. All right, so then in verses 5 and following, the remainder of the psalm is a reflection and exposition of the Lord's covenant faithfulness to His people. The first is as a defender, and that would be verses 5 through 7. The Lord is our defender, and He is our defender above any other. We need not fear the prowess of any created thing, any man, nor beast, nor angel, for the Lord is He that takes up our defense. The second reason we ought to give Him thanks is because He is an object of trust. Right? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in the man, in man. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The Lord manifests His faithfulness then as an object of trust. Greater than the fortifications of mankind, the Lord is able to withstand and stand as our protection against all foes. And so as such, He is worthy then of all our trust. Verses 10 through 12, He is an ally in the time of distress. Not just in times when everything's going well, we're thankful. Thank you, Father. Everything's going well. I'm riding on the high places of the earth. But also in times of distress, the Lord is our helper. And He proves Himself in such difficult times to be our defender and shield. And so then we give Him thanks. So the Lord has shown Himself to be an ally. He takes up our part, even when we are compassed about by our enemies and believe we can see no escape. It is the Lord who helps. Verses 13 through 18, the Lord is our strength and ally as a faithful father and friend. And so in 13 through 18, the Lord shows Himself worthy of our thanks. And we see here that though we are at times wounded by our enemies, the Lord takes up our defense and healing. It is He who is our salvation from those who would devour us. His superabundance supplies our lack and our weakness. He is also the one who chastens us that we might be the better for it. Yea, He actually stirs up our enemies to compass us about that they might wound us at His behest, that He might raise us up, that He might be our help and our shield. And also, we see that it is the right hand of the Lord that doeth valiantly. And I believe that when we hear of the right hand of the Lord in Scripture, that often that is an oblique reference to our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is that mighty right arm of God that has been bared in the pursuit of our salvation, is He not? All right, so then in verses 19 through 21, we have a further application of the covenant fidelity of God in that He will provide an entrance into communion with Him. Notice what the psalmist says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation." And so the Lord is again worthy of our thanks because He opens the gates of righteousness that His righteous people may come in and commune with Him. Of course, their righteousness is of me, the Lord says. Right? Okay, so then in verses 22 through the end of the psalm, we have the statements that really point ahead to the means all of this takes place, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a messianic psalm in this way. So, first of all, we have our Lord Jesus Christ spoken of as the cornerstone. A proper understanding is in keeping with the former psalm, that the psalmist praises the Lord and that these praises would be sung by all nations. However, here we take it a little bit farther. These nations praise the Lord, but notice the original nation does not. This psalm prophesies of the rejection of the Messiah by the Jews. You know that Jesus quotes from Psalm 118, this very portion in the New Testament. You know when He quotes from it? At the end of the parable of the vineyard. When the husbandman that owned the vineyard left folks in charge of the vineyard to collect the fruits of it, the produce of it. And he sent messengers to receive his share of that produce. And what did they do? They bloodied them. They left them wounded and injured. And finally he said what? I will send my son. Surely they will reverence my son. This is in Matthew chapter 21, verses 42 and following. A little before that, 38 or so and following. And they said what? This is the heir. We'll kill him and we'll take the inheritance for ourselves. And then it says that the Pharisees were upset because they perceived that he had spoken that parable against them. And he said to them, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation befitting its fruits, that will bring forth its fruits. Did you never read what the psalmist wrote? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And so Jesus quotes then from Psalm 118. It is marvelous in our eyes. That's the next point. It is a wonder. It is something that is peleh. It is miraculous what the Lord has done through Jesus Christ. And then notice, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not just this day. But this is the age, the gospel age, the messianic age that the Lord has made, inaugurated at the resurrection, which the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it, because in that day then is the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. It is a day for all the world to believe in Christ. Let us rejoice then, because His mercy endures forever. Matthew 21, 42 through 46, and Luke 20, 17 through 19 is the reference to the cornerstone. And then also let us remember that the purposes of God are opposed to the purposes of this world. And we must be a separate people in order to receive that full benefit from the day that the Lord has made. As we come to the end of the psalm then, we end where we began. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.